All right, let's talk Sweet Child of Mine, arguably one of the greatest power ballads of all time. I've always been fascinated by how a song so heartfelt and, well, sweet came from a band known for their hard-rocking, rebellious anthems.
Yeah, it's a fascinating juxtaposition, isn't it? I mean, Guns N' Roses, the most dangerous band in the world, releasing a song about love and longing, it definitely piqued my interest, too. It makes you wonder, what's the real story here?
Exactly, and that's what we're diving into today. From a simple string exercise by Slash to topping the Billboard Hot 100, Sweet Child of Mine's journey to becoming an iconic rock anthem is a story worth telling.
Absolutely. It's a story about creative sparks, you know? How a jam session can turn into something so dot unexpected, and how that unexpectedness can catapult a band to superstardom. What was it about this song that captured so many hearts? What made it stand out, not just from their other work, but from the entire landscape of 80s rock? I'm eager to unpack all of that.
Me too. We'll explore the unique blend of influences, the personal experiences that fueled Axl's lyrics.
The almost accidental nature of its creation.
The legacy it's left on the music world. So how did this song come about? The story goes that it started with Slash.
Because the burp is white.
Burn it again. Warming up, right? Just messing around with what he called a circus melody.
Yeah!
Steven Adler was there on drums, and they were just jamming. Then Izzy Stradlin comes in.
Dot asks Slash to play it again. He hears something and it starts adding chords. And then Duff McKagan joins in with a bass line, and suddenly they've got something. It's incredible how these things happen, you know?
It really is. And then you have Axl Rose upstairs overhearing this whole thing, and he starts writing the lyrics, a poem for his then-girlfriend, Erin Everly. It's amazing to think that something so iconic started so organically.
It speaks to the magic of collaboration, doesn't it? And the power of a really good riff. That opening riff is instantly recognizable. It's one of the reasons the song has endured, I think. It hooks you right away.
So we were talking about the almost accidental creation of Sweet Child of Mine and how it became this massive hit. But Guns N' Roses weren't exactly strangers to success even before that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Appetite for Destruction had already made a huge impact. It's still the best-selling debut album in U.S. history. Think about that for a second.
It's mind-blowing. It really cemented their place in the rock scene.
Yeah, it took them from playing clubs on the Sunset Strip to, well, stadiums around the world. But Sweet Child of Mine just amplified everything.
It broadened their appeal, broadened a whole new audience.
Okay. It's interesting to think about how a power ballad from, like you said, the most dangerous band in the world could have that kind of effect.
It's true. It showed a different side to them, a vulnerability that maybe people weren't expecting. And musically, it was just so well-crafted. That opening riff, it's pure magic.
Oh, it's iconic, instantly recognizable. Even people who aren't huge Guns N' Roses fans know that riff. It's just one of those things that gets ingrained in your brain. And it's interesting how Slash initially dismissed it as a circus melody. Imagine if he'd never played it for the others.
We might be talking about a completely different band trajectory right now.
Exactly. It's like those moments in history where tiny, seemingly insignificant decisions have these enormous ripple effects. It's a great example of how being open to experimentation and collaboration can lead to something, well, groundbreaking. It's also a testament to Slash's talent, obviously. Even a circus melody in his hands turns into gold.
Definitely. And then you have Axl's lyrics, this heartfelt poem to Erin Everly. It adds this layer of genuine emotion that elevates the song beyond just a great rock anthem. It's personal, relatable.
It's funny, the combination of Slash's almost dismissive attitude towards the riff and then Axl's deeply personal lyrics, it creates this really interesting tension within the song itself. I wonder if that's part of what makes it so compelling.
I think so. It's this blend of raw energy and genuine emotion. It's powerful stuff. And it's interesting how it contrasts with some of their other work, which could be a bit more dot provocative, shall we say?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Welcome to the Jungle is a totally different beast, right? But that's what makes their catalog so interesting. They weren't afraid to explore different sounds and themes, even if it meant taking risks.
So yeah, it's wild to think about Sweet Child of Mine being this vulnerable love song and then contrast it with, say, Welcome to the Jungle. The difference is stark.
It is. And that's what makes them so interesting, right? That range. I mean, most bands find their niche and stick with it. Guns N' Roses. Mm-hmm. They weren't afraid to jump genres, even within the same album, which I think is a big part of why Appetite for Destruction was so successful.
It's true. It offered something for everyone. The hard rock edge, the bluesy influences, and then dot bam, dot a power ballad that just blew everyone away. It's like, oh, yeah. Like, how do you even categorize that?
You don't. They defied categorization, and that's their genius. It also makes you wonder, what if Slash had dismissed that riff? Where would they be now?
Oh, that's a fascinating thought experiment. I mean, Sweet Child of Mine wasn't just a hit, it was a cultural phenomenon. It topped the Billboard Hot 100 for a band like Guns N' Roses.
It's unbelievable.
Totally. It took them to a whole new level of fame, and dare I say, respectability? I mean, it showed a depth, a sensitivity that people might not have associated with them before.
Exactly. Humanized them. And I think that's why it resonated with such a broad audience. It wasn't just rockers who loved that song. It was everyone. Grandmas, teenagers. Not everyone.
Yeah, my grandma loved that song. And she hated rock music. But Sweet Child of Mine, that was different. It transcended genres in a way.
It did. And it's a testament to the songwriting, the performance. Everything just came together perfectly. The almost accidental nature of its creation makes it even more remarkable, doesn't it? Like, it was just a jam session, a circus melody, as Slash called it, and it turned into this. It's mind-blowing.
It really is. It speaks to, I don't know, the magic of music, maybe? How these seemingly random moments can create something so timeless. And it also shows how crucial collaboration is. Slash's riff, Izzy's chords, Dust's bass line, Steven's drums, Axel's lyrics. It all worked together to create something dot bigger than the sum of its parts. It's amazing, really.
So we've got a rich history of Guns N' Roses here, spanning decades, right? From their explosive debut with Appetite for Destruction to, well, their more recent releases and tours. It's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, it's a wild ride, isn't it? I mean, they've had their ups and downs, personnel changes, hiatuses, the whole nine yards, but they've always managed to come back, and usually with a bang. It's pretty remarkable, actually.
It is. They've had their controversies too, of course, but you can't deny their impact. Appetite for Destruction is still the best-selling debut album in U.S. history, which is a staggering achievement. And then you have the Use Your Illusion albums, Chinese Democracy. Hmm.
Each one a chapter in their story.
And each album so different, yeah. I mean, talk about a band that wasn't afraid to experiment. They went from hard rock anthems to, like, full-blown orchestral pieces. It's a pretty diverse catalog.
Mm. Definitely. And what about their live shows? Legendary, even notorious, the Riverport Riot, the late starts, they've always been larger than life, which I think is part of their appeal.
Oh, for sure. They're not just a band. They're an experience. And even with all the drama, they've managed to maintain this mystique. People are still fascinated by them. And let's be honest, Axl Rose is a huge part of that. Love him or hate him, he's an icon.
Absolutely. He's a unique frontman, that's for sure. And Slash, what? I mean, that riff from Sweet Child of Mine, instantly recognizable. He's a guitar god. And Duff, Izzy, Steven, they all contributed to the magic.
They did. It was a perfect storm of talent and, well, a bit of chaos too, right? But that's what made them so compelling. They were raw, unpredictable, dangerous even. Mm. But then you had songs like November Rain, this epic ballad. It's like, who are these guys?
It's that blend of hard rock and, well, vulnerability that made them so successful. They appeal to a broad audience and they influence countless other bands. You can hear their influence everywhere, even today.
Mm-hmm.
You can. It's pretty incredible. From hard rock to hair metal to, I don't know, even some pop punk bands. They've left their mark. And even though they haven't released a full album of new material in a while, they're still touring, still drawing huge crowds. They're still Guns N' Roses. And that's some stuff.